Happy Podcast Friday, everybody. I have a wonderful literary agent on the podcast with me this week. This new year is starting out with like just all literary agents, and then we'll get into a lot of authors and have some agents sprinkled in there. But it is going to be Adria Getz, who is with Martin Literary Management, and she is going to share with us all about her experience, some query tips and tricks like usual, and then what she's looking for right now, which is super exciting. She also has a really cool query formula that she shares with us, which I think you guys will enjoy. But before we get to her, I want to tell you about my favorite book this week. My favorite book is Mr. Nobody by Catherine Stedman. She also wrote Something in the Water, which was another really amazing thriller, and this one is just as cool. And so let me go ahead and read the blurb for you. When a man is found on a British beach, drifting in and out of consciousness, with no identification and unable to speak, interest in him is sparked immediately. From the hospital staff, who find themselves inexplicably drawn to him, to international medical experts who are baffled by him, to the national press who call him Mr. Nobody, everybody wants answers. Who is this man, and what happened to him? Neuropsychiatrist Dr. Emma Lewis is asked to assess the patient in a small town deep in the English countryside. This is her field of expertise. This is the chance she's been waiting for, and this case can make her name known across the world. But therein lies the danger. Emma left the same town 14 years ago and has taken great pains to cover all traces of her past since then. But now, something or someone is calling her back. And the more time she spends with her patient, the more alarmed she becomes that he knows the one thing about her that nobody is supposed to know. It's a really awesome thriller, and Catherine does a great job of weaving stories together and really surprising you at the end with the twist. So I think you guys would really enjoy it. Mr. Nobody is out now, so go ahead and put that on your to-be-read list or pile or however long that is. Make sure to add it. All right, let's go ahead and get right into the interview with Adria. She's wonderful, and you guys are going to learn tons from her. Here we go. So let's have you tell us what drew you to publishing and being a literary agent.
Yeah, so in high school, I told people I wanted to be an acquisitions editor. And my friends were like, cool, nobody knows what that means.
Right.
So as a teenager, I kind of already liked the idea of being in a gatekeeper role and working with creative content. So when I got to college, I applied to basically every single publishing internship I could find, which where I'm located in the Seattle area is like there's three of them.
Yeah.
But my goal was to apply for as many as I could and just try to see the publishing industry from every angle or as many angles as I could. And sort of decide from there which angle I liked best. That was the plan, at least. But then I got an internship with a literary agency and just knew pretty early on from observing what agents did that it was where I wanted to be. I really loved the fairy godmother aspect of being an agent, where you're literally this person who swoops into someone's life and makes some of their creative dreams come true, or at least tries to make those dreams come true. I also love, watching the editing aspect to it because, developing creative work is really fun for me. And as a writer myself, I feel like I have more of a natural knack for it. And then I just love the lifestyle of being an agent, of being able to work remotely and have that flexibility to work from the comfort of home. Which that's why I always tell jittery writers that, like, when you're about to hit send on a query and you feel sick to your stomach, nervous, and your heart is racing and you're, like, sweating, just imagine that the agent is sitting on their couch in sweatpants, the cat curled up on their lap, because oftentimes that is their reality, or at least that's my reality. I think people think the agents are, like, in a skyscraper in New York wearing a blazer.
Yeah.
And, like, snapping at their assistant, and that's just not usually the case.
I love it. I love that you talked about the fairy godmother aspect of being a literary agent. I've never heard it described that way, but it's so true. You do kind of get to, like, wave your magic wand and kind of make somebody's dreams come true. That's awesome.
We try.
Yeah, we try. That's good. So when did your love for books begin? Because you had this, you know, dream and desire to do the acquisition editing in high school. So how did your love of books kind of start?
Well, so yeah, definitely as a kid, and definitely because of my mom. I always think of our bedtime reading routine that we had. So I have three sisters, and so we'd all, you know, take our baths and put on our PJs, which was usually my dad's big t-shirts that we would wear like nightgowns.
Yes.
And then we'd pile onto my parents' bed, which was this old school water bed that like jiggled.
No.
And then my mom would read to us. And the thing about my mom is she's very theatrical. She has a background in theater and still does quite a bit of community theater. And she's really good. So during these story times, I think she saw those picture books as this chance to perform to a captive audience.
Yeah.
So she like gave it her all and did like accents and characters. So our story times, in my opinion, were like this whole other, you know, on this whole other level, and was just extra special and delightful. So I think she kind of cultivated the magical feeling that reading gave me.
I love it. I think there is something, you know, having the voices, and like, it's kind of like reading an audiobook at times, but I'm sure it was so much cooler to like see your mom do it and like watch her face and hear it from her. But I think, you know, there is, I'm sure it added to like the, you know, fantasy of the stories, which is so fun. And so fun that your mom did that for you. I love it.
Yeah. Have you seen that Scottish grandma who reads the Wonky Donkey book?
No.
Oh my gosh. It's this video that just went viral of this like Scottish grandma reading this silly book and like cackling. And then the book like sold a zillion copies after that video went viral. And my mom, of course, loves that lady. So she's always like, just let me know if you want me to wonky donkey one of your clients' books. Like, I can totally go viral for you.
I love it. I will have to look it up. I, you know, read books to my kids before bed. And it sometimes with some books, it's easier to do voices and stuff. But my son has had me read these books where, like, the lines repeat themselves over and over again throughout the book. And I just get out of breath. But I need to try a little harder and have, like, different accents and stuff. It does make it a little bit more fun.
Definitely.
So let's talk a little bit about queries, because I know that everybody, you know, loves to hear your guys' answers to these questions. So my first question about queries is, do you think queries need to stick to the specified formula? Now, this isn't your submission guidelines, like for your agency, because of course those should be followed, right? But the formula I'm thinking about is, you know, the overall one that people say, like, keep it simple, no gimmicky, and just like the who, what, stakes, and then like your bio.
Yes, I think as much as possible, yes. And I teach about, you know, how to craft a great query letter at workshops, like, all the time. It's my favorite thing to teach about. So I have lots of thoughts. Can I share with you my, like, general formula?
Yeah, okay. That'd be great.
So the first paragraph in a query letter is the most important, right? You know, it's the first thing that the agent is going to read, besides just like the subject line of your email, which right. is also something to be thoughtful about. But I think the first paragraph is the most important thing to get right. So that's what I'm going to talk about the most. But I think it should include a bird's eye view of the project with the basic stats. So in my mind, the basic stats are, you know, the title of the book, the age category. And by age category, I mean, is this picture book? Is this middle grade, young adult, whatever it may be?
Mm-hmm.
The genre, the word count, as well as a quick log line, which is just a sentence pitching the plot of the book. So if your first paragraph includes all of these stats, it will immediately ground the agent in the project so we know what kind of book you wrote. And it just shows that you know your stuff. It might also be the place where you mention why you're querying this agent. So if you saw something on their manuscript wish list, or if a client referred you to them, if you met them at a conference or like a Twitter pitch event, things mm-hmm. like that. So I have a cheesy example written up right here to show what this first paragraph might sound like.
Yes, read it.
It says, Bippity Boppity Boop is a YA rom-com at 80,000 words in which young magician Clara enters a televised magic competition, only to find out that the competition is rigged to make the producer's nephew win. And even worse, she's falling in love with him.
Oh my gosh, I love it.
It's zippy, but it still includes all of the basics. It grounds the agent in what this project is. Like, we know what the tone is going to be.
Yeah.
So that's just an example. And then after the first paragraph, you'll have one or two paragraphs where you describe the main plot of your book. Just kind of the main stuff. It's important to keep it brief and to not go on too long. The next section is where you'll talk about comparison titles. You know, books that are similar in some way to your book, maybe they have a similar setting, a similar obstacle, you know, just something that will attract the same kind of reader as the type of reader who would pick up your book.
Yeah.
And they should be recently published, within the past few years is best. They should be within the same genre and age category as yours. So if you're writing a YA fantasy, don't use a middle grade fantasy as a comp title, like things like that. And then after that section of your query, that's where you'll talk about autobiographical information about yourself, since you are the author. So like your background, your day job, where you're located, anything you feel is important for the agent to know. And I always say, like, if there's, you know, something interesting about you that's non-writing related, like, please tell me. Like, if you have the largest wooden duck collection in Indiana, like, by all means, like, share that with me. I want to know that. And then I think always wrap up your query letter by acknowledging that you've read the guidelines. So just like, you know, per your submission guidelines, the first chapter is pasted here, or, you know, whatever it may be.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've never heard that, you know, an agent say that for a query, but I think that's important too. It just shows that you're not just like copy and pasting everything for every single query, that you actually are paying attention.
Okay, yeah.
That's awesome. Well, what a good formula. And I love your little example that you came up with. So based on, you know, your expectations and your formula, what for you is like your number one query no-no?
So I would say just forgetting the basics. So like not including the genre or word count or things like that. But I also really don't like when writers spend what I consider important real estate talking about the themes of their project.
Mm.
So saying something like, you know, right off the bat, like my YA romance is about like love and fear and forgiveness, and my character like overcomes obstacles to achieve her goal. To me, that type of language feels fluffy, and I still have no idea what actually happens in the story.
Right. They could be trying to sound very, I don't know, literary about it, but it's like, we just want to know what actually happens in the book, and then maybe your themes match up to it, but that's not the most important part at that stage. Well, good. I like that. No, that's a good thing to remember. So what things in a query or first pages that you'll receive would make you stop reading?
So I would say when I don't feel grounded. So when I'm like introduced to too many characters at once, or if I'm dropped into a scene and don't know what's going on by like the end of the page, it's of course fine to drop someone into a scene or into action, but you need to quickly ground the reader so they know what's going on, because yeah, it can feel kind of frustrating to feel disoriented.
And I think that, you know, it can be a hard thing if it's like fantasy or, you know, a very different world than, you know, what you might expect in like contemporary or something, because, or when you introduce like six characters right at the beginning, you know, that can be a lot to wrap your head around and keep straight in the first couple pages. And then, so let's talk about your favorite thing to see in a query.
I would just say brevity. Keep it snappy.
Yes. Keep it snappy and fun. I really love your formula, and that you know, share that with authors and Because I think queries are something that is so hard, and you know, I think a lot of people will have said this, but it's a very different type of writing than not like writing a whole novel. It's a little bit more salesy, and that can be really hard for, you know, I've struggled with queries before, and it's like because you know your whole story, right? And it's like hard to pick out the snappy things it can be at times. So I think it's good to just hear different ways that people do it, and your formula is a little different than I've seen before, but I really like your first paragraph having all of that information, because sometimes I know people put that like at the end of the query.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I'm sure every agent has said like this is such a subjective industry. Yeah. But I just like that immediate grounding.
I think so too, and I think that it helps, you know, you not get confused and maybe just like push it aside because you're confused. So I like that a lot. So what would your tips or golden rules be for authors who are querying, besides, you know, your formula and following that and being snappy?
Well, I would say, like organizationally, it's great to keep a spreadsheet or like a list of, you know, which agents you sent a project to, on what dates, what kind of feedback they've offered you. And then as far as like golden rule for, you know, being in the querying trenches, I think it's good to look out for your mental health, because it can be, you know, so rough to receive rejection after rejection, and that can be really tough for your self-esteem and your headspace. So it's important to do what you need to do to take care of yourself. You know, surround yourself with family and friends, maybe cats if you're like me, other writers, you know, people who love you and want the best for you. And, you know, like take baths, light a candle, eat chocolate, you know, pour yourself a glass of wine, go to therapy if you can, and just hang in there. Because I do worry about, you know, how rough it can be emotionally for writers.
I feel like I see it on Twitter a lot in the writing community. People, you know, are like, oh, I just got my 100th and 120th rejection. Like, should I just stop and give up? And it can be very hard, especially if you, you know, just by luck get like 5 rejections or responses in one day. Like, that's always like a rough day. But, you know, I think we are so blessed to have like the community we do, and to be able to like talk to people around the world who are going through the same thing. But sometimes it's just best to like shut off Twitter and get off social media and read a book or work on something new, to distract yourself from it, because your mental health is super important. So my next question is, what else do you look for in an author? So you've read, you know, their manuscript, you're really interested in working with them, and you're on that phone call with them. What are you looking for in, you know, your Cinderella, because you're a fairy godmother?
I want Cinderella to be hardworking and savvy about the industry, but most importantly, kind. That's kind of the trifecta for me. Yeah. And you can't really know just from a query or a phone call if someone is all of those things, but I try to suss it out a little bit before I sign someone. And one of the ways I do that is by, and not to sound like Big Brother, but by checking out their social media.
Yeah.
And specifically, like, their replies to, like, tweets, to see what they're saying to other people online. And if they're being unkind and they're, like, being a troll, which I do see sometimes, then that is, like, that's, like, an instant no for me.
Yeah.
Because I want to work with people who are warm and fuzzy kind of people.
Definitely. And I feel like that would be the kind of author who would be, you know, more open to revisions and edits, and not somebody who's trolling other people online. That makes me sad. Wouldn't want that. Well, tell us a little bit about what you're looking for in your query inbox, and what is on your manuscript wish list right now.
Yes. So I have a very long and very oddly specific manuscript wish list at my website, adriagetz.com.
Perfect.
That people can read through. But some of the things that are at the top of the list right now are picture books, specifically picture books that feature what I would describe as contemporary families and reflect how these real life families live, particularly families who haven't been represented as much as white families have in the picture book space.
Yeah.
So I'd love to see more books like Hair Love and My Poppy Has a Motorcycle, and even like Tell Me a Tattoo Story. I'd also love to work with more picture book author illustrators, particularly someone with a very magical aesthetic. So some of my favorite examples would be the Phan Brothers, who I love, and David Litchfield, Juana Martinez Neal, Emily Winfield Martin, Vashti Harrison. Those are some of my favorites. And then in the middle grade and young adult space, I'm looking for books that are very atmospheric, where it feels like the setting is central to the plot, or it's like its own character almost. I love anything with a dual timeline. I love magical realism. I would love to do more historical fiction, particularly historical fiction that feels fresh and explores a narrative that we haven't seen as much in historical fiction, something that it kind of feels like it's bringing a lesser known story into the light.
Yeah.
I'd also love, I mean, everyone is saying this, but I'd love a rom-com with a very commercial hook. I think it would be fun to work on. I'd also love more graphic novels or just anything that is kind of in a hybrid format that's very highly visual. So like something similar to Brian Selznick's body of work, which I love. And then last but not least, I want all of the mermaids.
Ooh, so, the mermaids. I love it.
No matter if it's a picture book or middle grade or young adult, I very much want to see mermaids in my inbox.
I love it. I love mermaids. We need more. I feel like they were like hot for a minute, like 10 years ago or more, but we need more for sure. Yeah. Well, I love it. That's a great manuscript wish list. And this is probably the hardest question. People tell me that it's the hardest question, but I would like to know what your favorite book is right now. This is not your favorite book of all time. Just a book you read recently that you really loved, and it is okay if you have more than one book.
Okay, I have many more than one book.
That's good.
I can't say just one. Anyone who follows me on Twitter like knows that I love talking about books. I mean, everyone does. Yeah. They just kind of like to talk about their own books. I like to talk about all books.
Yes.
So for YA, I'm loving the Truly Devious series by Maureen Johnson. Have you read those yet?
I haven't, but somebody else has had that as their favorite book, and I added it to my list, so I will get there.
And then, but my all-time, I know you said it doesn't need to be all-time, but my all-time favorite YA is called The Strange and Beautiful Sorrows of Ava Lavender. Ooh. By Leslie Walton. She's a Pacific Northwest gem.
Love it.
That we're proud of.
Yes.
For middle grade, I loved Front Desk by Kelly Yang, because of course I did. You can't read that book and not love it. I'm reading Circus Mirandus right now by Cassie Beasley, which is really magical. And then for picture books, which is the hardest to narrow down, but some of my recent favorites are Maria the Matador by Anne Lambalette and Hair Love by Matthew Cherry, Lights on Cotton Rock by David Litchfield, Alma by Juana Martinez Neal, and of course Hello Lighthouse, which is so beautiful. And then one of my all-time favorites is The Night Gardener by the Phan Brothers.
Oh my gosh, then, so many good ones.
There's one more. I have to sneak in one plug. I've been good, but I have to
do one.
So a picture book that's not out yet, but it comes out next year that I'm really excited about is called The Ugly Doodles by my lovely client, Valeria Wicker. So I represented that book and I'm so, so proud of it. That comes out with Jimmy Patterson Books, I believe in June.
Perfect.
So that's my one plug.
Well, for all the others you shared, you can get one plug. Well, that is a lovely list. I love that question because like you said, we all love to talk about books and we love books. And I think just sharing them, because there's so many out there, like we miss them. We miss some of the ones that could be our favorites, right? Just without even trying. Well, thank you so much for chatting with me and for sharing some of your literary agent knowledge with us. It has been lovely to get to know you.
Yeah, you too. Thank you so much, Rose.
Thank you guys so much for listening, and as always, please make sure to rate and review this wherever you might find it. Share these literary agent interviews with your querying or your almost querying friends, because hearing from agents who you're interested in or just agents in general is super helpful. So make sure to share those and get the word out. And find me on Instagram and Twitter at Rose Quinney, Quinny. Thanks so much.